is exciting. I feel like the last episode that we did was very effective because we did get, we people did reach out, right, for our kind of unofficial casting call. And we actually just came from dinner with a potential, well, she's in. If you're listening to this, you know who exactly you, who you are. But we're so excited to be growing the team, right, Esther? Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's been me and Esther and Ben for a hot minute, and we're so excited to be I think we're gonna be doubling up the size, to be honest, by the end of my time here in New York, which is crazy, but I'm so happy. I'm really, really happy personally. But aside from that update, I think today we're gonna be talking about a few things, one of which will be from me. I have been posting about bananas a lot on my personal Instagram. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll know this, that I post about bananas. So I wanted to talk about bananas and maybe segue that into something else. If that's okay with everybody. Ben, I don't know why you're not happy.
What are you talking about?
Rubbing his face with his hands.
I'm intently listening.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I'm just, my head hurts.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Ben.
But I can't wait to hear what you have to say about bananas. It's not sexual, I know.
Well, so here's the thing, right? It's not meant to be sexual. I promise. It was never meant to be. But it was mainly because I was so busy splitting time between With Warm Welcome and this. Just been really busy with those two projects that I didn't really have time to eat meals. It's actually really sad. It's like a really sad thing. And I just don't have time to sit down and like cook for myself. I don't really cook, but I guess buy meals or anything. So bananas became just like a really easy way for sustenance, honestly. It's cheap. You pay like a dollar, you get six, seven bananas, right? And in LA, yeah. And I feel like it's pretty consistent in terms of the flavor. Like it's usually, you know what you're getting, right? And I thought it'd be kind of funny to like post about them too. And also like just about me. It's really silly, but it's kind of my way to like try and not take myself too seriously, actually. Because I think I do a lot. So I started it because I wanted to improve myself on that end because I do take myself too seriously. So I was like, all right, let me just take some photos of bananas. But then it ended up being like, I would just have like the deepest thoughts, like deepest, darkest secrets and thoughts when I'm eating a banana because it's just such a consistent product that I know what I'm getting and I have so much like energy and my brain is going 100 miles per hour. That has become a vehicle for me to share my thoughts. So that's what the banana thing is. But the other thing about the banana, when I was thinking about it, is it has a lot to do with like identity too. Like growing up, I think this is probably relatable to a lot of people that are listening and that are Asian American or some sort of hyphenated identity, right? Where on the exterior you look a certain way, interior is in the inside maybe you relate and you identify as something else. And I think a banana is a term that I used to hear a lot growing up, where you know, yellow on the outside, white on the inside. There's another one, Twinkie.
Yes.
I think the Twinkie is another one that was used a lot growing up, but there's all of these terms. But so that's another thing too that I thought was interesting with bananas. I could go on and on about bananas, but I will stop boring everybody. But I wanted to actually talk about and segue into identities. And obviously the three of us today, we're all Asian American. I'm Korean American. Esther is Korean American as well. Ben is Chinese American. But I wanted to talk about like, you know, we do this on the podcast with other chefs and restaurateurs, but I feel like we've never really talked about ourselves and how we grew up, where we grew up. And I kind of want to dig into that a little bit, especially with everything that's going on right now. So I did enough talking. I'm going to pass it to Ben.
Hello, everybody. Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to talk about, especially what's going on today. And we touched upon this briefly in a Clubhouse chat, right?
Yes.
But I think it's important to talk about our own upbringings. You know, we all had different situations growing up. I'm happy to share mine in a few minutes. But, you know, the whole topic of this or the whole point of this podcast was to talk about kind of things that triggered us, right? That's one of the talking points, I believe. Are we there yet?
No, it's interesting because Ben, I've mentioned to Ben multiple times about what we'd be talking about tonight. And literally the day of a couple hours ago, I was like, hey, when are we? Oh, we were doing that podcast, right? And I said, yes. And he's like, what are we talking about again? And I don't think he still gets what we're talking about.
I need to be prompted with questions. I can't just talk. You know, this is why I'm the co-host and not the host. You ask me questions, I answer them, you know?
I think we're going to have Esther go first. I think Esther's a little bit more prepared. If you don't want me putting you on the spot, but I would love to hear more about you and like how you grew up too. Because I feel like, you know, we work together, but we never really sat down and had conversations about our upbringing.
Sure. Hi, guys. It's Esther. So I was actually born and raised in New Jersey. I'm not going to say exactly where.
That's okay.
But it's Central Jersey. I'll just give you that information. But mm-hmm. basically, I grew up in a very diverse neighborhood. And so that means, you know, I didn't really grow up in a typical Korean, like, sort of upbringing. You know, I'm Americanized. So my parents and our family, like, we were, you know, we grew up in a neighborhood of all walks of life. So white, black, Filipino, Koreans. I mean, it was a very small percentage of Koreans in our neighborhood. But for the most part, I would say like my closest connection to Korean community in general was through church. So every Sunday or even Saturday for like Hangul Hakgyo, which is basically Korean school, I would get access to like other Korean kids and just like be exposed to that language a little bit more in that way. But I would say like, I don't know, like going to Korean churches, and we talked about this a little bit before, it wasn't really a place I felt comfortable in, even though, you know, my parents are, you know, devout Christians and God-fearing and all that stuff. But they really tried to hammer in like with us, like me and my siblings, two brothers and a sister, and just kind of hammering in like, you know, you have to be God-fearing, you have to be, you know, Christian, and you have to study the Bible every day, and you have to just be a perfect individual, right? And those expectations are so high because they're comparing us to, you know, other Korean families and parents and their kids and how they've all gone to Ivy Leagues and all that stuff. And that's typical, I think, for the lot of Korean community, like families, I guess. But, you know, we did our best, and I think they did their best as well. You know, my parents are hard, you know, they didn't come from like Ivy League backgrounds in any way, but my dad was a jeweler. My mom worked in a post office for like God knows how long. But essentially it's like they put us through a private Catholic school all throughout our lives. Wow. That's tuition. Yeah. That's like college tuition. It was rough.
So did you want, I mean, when did you realize that you didn't kind of believe in the same things that they did and kind of wanted to go around, you know, go about your own
life? I think around like college, just because I think that's when I actually left the nest. So I had the opportunity to like do things I'd never got to do before. So, you know, in high school and elementary school, like, we had to kind of just follow the rules. We're under their house. So like we have to kind of just do what we're told. Otherwise, you know, you'll get kicked out or you'll get hit like a typical parents would do. If you don't get good grades and you don't, you know, if you get into a fight or something, you'll get in trouble. But for the most part, like me and my sister were very, I would say, goody two shoes back in the day because we didn't want to get in trouble. We were very like straight edged back in the day.
Raised in a very traditional Korean way.
Yeah. I mean, it was just like study. I mean, it was okay if I got like a C or a B or whatever, it's fine, right? But like it wasn't that strict. But with my brothers, a different story, because they're the oldest and, you know, carrying the family name, you know, they've made mistakes.
More pressure on the older.
Yeah, they've made mistakes too, but like my oldest brother got into Ivy League after undergrad. So that was like the saving grace for all of us, and then the rest of us kind of just finished college. But my sister actually got into school in New York, and that was kind of like my ticket to get out of the New Jersey lifestyle.
I feel like we should segue into Ben, because you know Ben grew up in Jersey too.
Yes, I am a Jersey boy. I also grew up in Central Jersey, actually not very far from Esther. You know, I remember growing up in, I think elementary school, sixth grade, I was like one of two or three Chinese kids or Asian kids actually in my class. And then middle school, same thing, you know, it was very few of us, maybe four or five. And middle school is kind of, well, no, I mean, yeah, middle school is where I had my first incident of kind of like blatant racism and you know, being kind of picked on for the first time. But the kid was like a little smaller than me. And I remember this, he was on, you know, we're on the school bus and he just kept on going like, ching chong, like stupid stuff. I was like, just shut up, just stop, man. I said, just please, just stop. And then he kept on doing it, kept on provoking me. I turned around and just punched him in the face. And he started gushing with blood, like profusely. And then we got into school and within about 10 minutes, I was called to the principal's office. And, you know, basically got suspended for a few days and got home, told my parents what happened. And they were like, good, you should have punched them harder because, you know, when I told them the story, they're like, you don't take no shit from no one. And that was kind of the beginning of just how I wanted to kind of like stand up for myself and never take that kind of shit from anyone. So that was my first incident of racism. And then a couple other times, actually another time I was at my mom's restaurant. I was standing outside just catching some air and these three kids were standing across the street and again, just like throwing racial slurs at me. And I was like, I just stood there. I didn't say anything. And then I just calmly stood there and they kept on provoking me as well. And then I just sprinted towards them. Wow. And they're like, oh my God. And like, I caught the slowest one because he was fat. And I grabbed him by his shirt. And he was like, don't hit me, don't hit me. And I was like, don't you ever fucking come back here again or I will kill you. Mm. I said that to his face and he started crying. And I said, you tell your friends the same thing, you know? And that, it was just rage. I remember I was so angry and so just like, I'm tired of this. And then the last time was high school. Yeah, I think it was in my like sophomore year or even freshman year. Same thing, man. Like, you know, just people talking shit. And this one kid just started picking on me for some reason and said, oh, I'm going to kick Ben Han's ass. And I'm like stomping his face and call him a gook, you know, and all this shit. And then like it built up for a whole week. And, you know, it turned into this big event, you know, during the football game.
Oh my gosh.
And like we're going to fight behind the bleachers. And
what?
And then what
is.
Yeah, it was crazy, man. It was like people were placing bets and everything.
Oh my
and
God.
What essentially happened was like, you know, we kind of we met at the baseball field. It was like dark. And then I saw him. He saw me. We went at each other. I put him in a headlock. I started just pounding on him in his face.
Oh my gosh, Ben. Never expected to see you.
I'm not typically a violent person. Okay?
Oh my God.
But if you provoke me and you disrespect me and my family and my friends,
yeah,
I turn into the Hulk. Wow. And what happened was I just started pounding on him. And all of a sudden somebody goes, cops. And everybody just disperses, right? Everybody runs away. And then what happened after that was he went into this pizza shop nearby and he didn't want to come out. He was scared, scared to fight. And then eventually he apologized to me. But again, I got suspended for that too, because next day I went to school and the principal goes, oh, do you realize you caused a ruckus and one of the students ran away, fell into a ditch and broke his arm? And I was like, well, how is that my fault? He goes, well, you caused this commotion. And what if he fell and broke his neck? Wow. And I was like, well, he didn't have to come. You know what I mean? And like, yeah, whatever. And long story short, I got suspended again. And my parents, again, you know, were totally cool with it and said, you did the right thing. We're not mad at you or anything like that. Like always, always stand up for yourself. I remember that. My dad told me that. Don't let anyone ever disrespect you. So, you know, those are my early incidents of racism and like, you know, and just kind of that kind of stuff. And I think that like violence isn't the answer for sure. But I just remember that like I was so enraged and seeing what's happening today and today's society, especially here in New York, it makes me mad. And I hope I never see it in person because I feel like that anger would come back out and I might just like do something really uncontrollable.
First of all, thanks for sharing that. I know it's really difficult to, like, you know, go back to those memories. Mm-hmm. But I had a few things I wanted to ask you about, which is one, and I want to segue Esther into this too, but one is, when you got suspended, did you ever counter and say, well, actually, the reason, did you ever justify your reasoning? Like, did you share what had happened leading up to the fight? And then what was the principal or the other person's response to that?
Yeah, the principal didn't care. Mm. He was more like upset about me causing this commotion and, like, you know, causing this kind of kid, this other kid that got hurt was my fault. Essentially,
do you think race played a factor? Like, was this principal white, and the guy you were trying to fight was white? That,
yeah, it's funny. I never really thought of it like that. Actually, it could have been. You know, I think I even got a couple more days than he did. You know, because, like, I think it seemed like I was the instigator when I told him that I wasn't. So, that's a good question. I never really thought about it like that.
That's funny, because, like, your experience is definitely what my second oldest brother always experienced. Mm. Like, he was, like, we call him the black sheep in our family, but he's definitely, you know, I can imagine him kind of, like, standing up for himself, being bullied throughout high school. But he got in so much trouble, but probably because these kids were instigating, you know, some sort of...
They were starting it.
Yeah. And it just didn't look that way when you look from the outside if you're not there at the moment, which obviously a lot of faculty isn't really involved until later.
Right.
But
you gotta obviously listen to both sides of the story. Mm-hmm. But I think without you knowing about it, I believe personally that there was some racial bias and prejudice going into these conversations and the result of your suspensions. I think there was definitely something there. With you, Esther, what I wanted to talk about is, it's a little bit different, right? Being that obviously you're female. Physically, maybe you were not, you didn't have the physical attributes that our beloved Ben has. So maybe you couldn't necessarily take the actions that Ben Hahn did growing up. So for you, if you're comfortable sharing, A, were there any incidents? And B, how did you deal with it growing up?
So, like, when I was a kid in elementary school and high school, like, I would say I was bullied more in elementary school, but it wasn't, at least from what I recall, it wasn't racially instigated or charged, but more because of the fact that me and my sister were always the smallest in the class, and just based on our size, like, we were easily the targets, right?
Yeah.
But it just didn't, I don't recall it being super racially charged. So, but what I will say is, when I got out of New Jersey into New York, going to college in the city, and you get racial slurs thrown at you every day.
Wow.
Like, as a woman especially, like, I got, like, hate China, hate, like, Ching Chong Chang, like, all that stuff from, like, grown-ass men all the time. It was really, you know, traumatizing, but...
Out of the blue? Just, like...
Just for the heck of it. Like, I wasn't wearing anything, like, tight or anything. I was a student, you know? But it happened often, and you kind of just ignored it and just, like, let it happen. But, you know, there's times where I'll look back and just give him the finger or like yell something else back, but there's nothing else you can really do in that sort of situation, you know, especially as, like, a 20 something or 18 year old woman in the city. I mean, that stuff I kind of buried in the back of my brain, honestly, and it sucks that I had to do that. But now if something like that happens, I'll be more, I would say, like, I'm hyper, hyper aware of my surroundings, no matter where I am in the city, just because of the things I've been through. But
I mean, thinking about that too, like, I mean, I think if that were to happen to me now, you know, similar to what happened in the past, I don't think I'd react the same, given, you know, obviously today's circumstances, and you never know who could be holding what type of weapon, right?
Exactly.
So, like, it's just like driving. I used to be like a road rager. Now I'm very, very calm. And you just kind of think of, like, what situations you're in and what could possibly happen. So I tend to walk away. But at the same time, you know, if someone's just putting you down verbally, it's just sometimes it's so, so hard, you know? And it's a very tricky situation. I think that, you know, honestly, the right move is to just still walk away and not counter that person or encounter that person. But it's just happening more and more these days.
Yeah, I think you know, I went to school in the city too. It's surprising because throughout my time in college, I feel like I haven't encountered racism on campus or in the city necessarily. But I think it has to definitely do with the fact that you're female, mm-hmm. that I'm a dude. And I think there's a lot of, actually, there's a huge difference there because kind of going back to your point growing up, you know, being an easy target or maybe people think that you're not going to fight back. So right, maybe that's why they're saying these things. And I think that's just like, it's really unfortunate because I think that's exactly what's happening today is people mm-hmm. that are getting targeted are the ones that are the most vulnerable, which, you know, we're seeing the elderly. It's the most fucked up thing because it's like, really, you couldn't pick someone your size? Mm-hmm. It's because they're scared of Ben. That's what it is. They know Ben would fight back, but it's frustrating, man.
Honestly, nobody should be picked on, you know?
Well, of course. Yeah, but it's just like, but the fact that they are picking on a population, like especially people that are older, that, yeah. And I'm seeing some of these videos, it's like from the back, dude. Yeah. So, I don't want to get too much into that, but I mean, I think that, just to share, I guess my thing too is, this is very interesting for me to hear because unlike you guys, I was born in Korea. So my earliest memories is growing up with other Korean people. So it's like left and right, it's all Korean. They all look like me. Mm-hmm. And then coming to the States, that's when I was like 6. It was really hard because it's like, I couldn't speak English. Maybe this is where I get my like body language and like expressiveness from. But like I would, because I couldn't speak English, everything was done like, you know, like sign language and very expressive, you know, like I'd be like Doritos, like Doritos with like a triangle sign, you know. That was my first snack, by the way, that my wife friend gave me.
Wow, really? That's amazing.
Every time I had Doritos, I kind of shed a tear because it has to be the red one. What's the red one? Is that the original?
Yeah.
That was the first American snack that I had.
Wow. That's amazing.
And I still remember his name. His name's Dean. Hey, Dean, if you're listening. It was in Rolling Hills, California, in between Torrance and Palos Verdes. I meant to go take a drive there a couple of days ago before I came to New York, actually, because I wanted to celebrate. We immigrated on February 22nd of 2002. It's 2202. My dad has a weird thing with numbers, and so do I. And I had bought, I think that's when I bought my ticket to New York, I think. This is the first time I traveled with my American name, with my U.S. passport that I got like a month ago. But I don't know, that's just like, it was really, really hard growing up for me too. Cause like, man, just, I want to say things, but I can't say it, you know? And I don't know if, I feel like they're making fun of me, but it's like, I don't even understand. So it's like, I'm the easiest target. They could call me Goog, they could call me whatever the fuck. I have no idea what they're saying. So,
I mean, just giving them the triangles, the triangle fingers back to them. You're like, yeah,
Dorito. Oh man. But and then I and then the other thing I want to touch on is like, you know, fast forwarding, obviously I've had my kind of encounters too, but I kind of want to bring it up to more up to speed into modern day, which is, you know, working in restaurants. It's just like, and I would love to talk about representation maybe in your respective careers too, right? Mm. But like in restaurants, like it's so funny because you look at the owners, employers, they're all white. And then you look at the managerial level, like mid-manager to senior manager level, they're all Asian. And they're the ones on the day-to-day basis. They're the ones like doing the work, always getting no recognition. You know, you go to like the most successful restaurants and there are the general managers, like a Korean American lady from Fort Lee, Susan Lee, if you're listening, she's the director of restaurants for Star Restaurants now. Wow. She oversees all of Star Restaurants. No one's talking about Susan Lee. No one's talking about Steven Starr. Mm. You know, as an example. Well, we hope to amplify the Asian American culinary community through the things that we do. So, you know, and then also I have one incident when I was at 11 Madison Park. I felt like I'm a pretty personable person, like personable guy, hospitality professional. But I remember I had like this one white manager who would always just give me shit. Like he would pull me aside and he's like, Arnold, we're in the people business. You have to stop being robotic and you got to have like a personality.
Like, yeah. What do you mean? Wow. Mm. And I felt like it came from a very like racially charged angle perspective. I didn't take it very well, but I actually revisiting this dialogue that I had, it wasn't really a dialogue, it was like a one-way thing. I wish I had said something. I think I internalized it, kind of like you, Esther, where I was kind of, I wasn't taught to like take things, but I was told by my dad that racism exists and to just be careful. He didn't really tell me like fight back or just take it. He was like, just be aware of it. So I was never really taught how to react necessarily. So looking back on that comment, but this was like multiple interactions. It wasn't just this one time. I wish I had approached him and said, like, why you say that? Why did you say that to me? Or just like engage in it instead of being like, okay. And just, I regret that a lot actually. And I think for me, seeing what's happening now, I feel like if there's any sort of angle where I feel like someone's coming at me from like a racially charged or some sort of like prejudice, I feel like I need to address it, you know? Yeah. And not just like take it, because I don't think we should just take it. I'm not going to go Hulk, like Ben Hulk, and start punching my manager, but like...
That's old Ben, okay? New Ben's reformed man.
No, I kind of want to just add, like, I feel like the reason why, like, our community as a whole is being targeted, because it's happening not just to elderly anymore, it's happening to, like, 30-year-old men and, like, women, and... It's because people just think that we're not going to speak back or defend ourselves, because it actually doesn't happen very often. Like, people don't talk back, right? Like, we're just taught in our culture to just kind of keep our heads down and do the hard work, and then you'll make it someday, right? But it's not the case. And like, I think a lot of the things I struggle with is, you know, people just don't talk enough about it. And they just kind of, what is it, internalize and kind of tuck it away and are a little bit ashamed about certain things like that, which I completely understand. But now is the time where you have to just speak up, because no one's going to take you seriously then, and no one's going to like respect you. Honestly, you have to be the ones to like just tell it straight like it is, or call out something that's definitely racist, and don't just let it like slide, you know?
You know what? It's funny you mentioned that. Thinking back a few, probably about a year ago, I was at an event for a movie, actually about women chefs. Mm-hmm. And I was in the audience, and there was a lot of really important females there in the hospitality industry. And there was a gentleman sitting next to me. And this is actually when, like, this is around February, actually, when Corona was kind of like still, like, it was picking up and stuff. And, but, like, we were, you know, it was like, but people weren't, you know, like, it wasn't as serious as it was. And, but it was still a thing. And this is when we were experiencing a lot of, like, stuff going on in Chinatown and stuff, right? And so I went to this event, and I remember this guy was sitting next to me, and his daughter was there. And it looked like his daughter wanted to get out. And I got up. He's like, oh, no, sit down. It's okay. She's not coming out yet. I was like, oh, okay. And then I cough into my elbow, and he goes, oh, great, now we all have Corona.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, what the fuck did you just say? In my mind, I didn't say that to him, right? But I, when I sat down in my seat, I looked who was around me, and behind me was Susan Ungaro, who was the old CEO of James Beard House, the head person at James Beard House. She sat behind me, and there were some other like esteemed people next to her, and... I didn't say anything because I didn't want to cause a scene. So I pretended I didn't hear it. But I regret doing that so bad, because he needed to realize that was...
Not okay.
Not okay.
Exactly.
And I bit my tongue because, again, I didn't want to cause a scene. I regret it to this day, because he should have known that was inappropriate and rude. You know, I didn't have to like kick his ass, but I should have let him know that was actually not a good thing, a cool thing to say. And that was a life lesson for me, to not keep quiet, you know, despite who's around. Actually, if she heard it, she probably might have even respected it more. But like, that was just I don't know. It was just a weird reaction where I was like, I don't want to cause a scene. I don't want to like embarrass myself and cause this thing. And like, there's so many people here and whatever. Just just suck it up and pretend you didn't hear it. But man, that stung so hard. And I kept on thinking about it for days after that. And I would totally not handle it like that if that happened again, you know?
I mean, I think that's exactly why I reacted the way I did too. Kind of like as if I didn't hear it, or I just wanted to like sweep it under the rug because I didn't want to address it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to cause a scene, and I didn't want to, I was like, no, I got to go back and just like work. You know, I got to go, I had shit to do. Like I'm on the clock. I felt like it wasn't important to, and I think that totally goes with the Asian mentality where it's like, there's a job that needs to get done and we need to get it done. Regardless of not if this white manager called me out, I gotta get shit done. But it's so funny because it's like we don't really, we're like kind of programmed to be the perfect, actually we're programmed to be the perfect sous chefs and the perfect floor manager and the perfect whatever managerial role we have in any other industry because we don't talk back.
Exactly. I just want to add an example.
Yeah, please.
Your example just reminded me of something that happened with my previous employer. Industries are kind of similar across the board when it comes to representation. I worked in advertising and marketing for like 10 plus years, and you know, it's the same. Like the head of the top upper crust is always white. And then it trickles down to, you know, the supervisors, managers are all minorities doing the extra work, right? All the hard work. And you rarely see people getting promoted unless, you know, at least the ones that do get promoted, they really ask for it. And you have to be vocal. If you're not, you don't get promoted. Then there's our white counterparts that don't really have to say much and they just get immediately raised, right? And like fast tracked to something like more high level. But this one example that I had was, it's funny because it's between, and I love my team from the previous company I worked for, but there was just one thing where, like, I think I just grown to, like, you know, understand that, like, racism is something that I'm definitely not, like, trying to condone or even, like, let it slide if it happens in front of me, right? But it's never happened in a workplace like this before, so when it happened with me and I was in the room and I was like, no, you guys can't say this. It's so wrong. Because basically what happened was we had a client, or it wasn't my particular client, but my counterparts who are managers and, you know, managing directors, they had a client that was Asian, Chinese, had a name, which is can sound like something sexual, right? They're kind of just tossing the name around like it was funny, like a joke. But it's a client, right, that you're working with, and he's not even here to protect himself or defend himself. And so the name was Dong. So you can kind of imagine what the joke was. And I was standing there. This is after hours, but we're all in the office working after like 6 p.m. anyways. And I was like, guys, like, come on. Like, I'm really disrespected by that. Like, the fact that he's not even in this room to help himself, and also, you know, like, I'm Asian. don't say these things in front of me and think it's gonna, like, be okay. So I was like, please don't, like, that's just wrong. Don't say that.
How did they react?
And he was like, no, it's just, I was like, no, it's not funny. Like, that's actually not funny, because that just makes it seem like it's okay to keep saying these sort of things and joke around. And instead, actually, it's hurtful, you know, for a lot of people. So I just called it out, and they were like, okay, no, we won't do that. Like, we understand. And I was glad that I said it, because, like, I'm sure that happens so often, you know, behind curtains and doors that we're not a part of sometimes. Good, I don't know.
Glad you did that, you know?
I just don't take shit anymore. Like, I'm so sick and tired of it, like, being in New York. And it just gave me a thicker skin, and over time, and this happened in LA, but I was just shocked it happened, because it was someone I respected, you know, in a higher manager role, and it was my boss. I was like, come on, dude. Like, you should know better.
You think they would know better.
Yeah.
But they don't.
Yeah.
Do you think he appeases you just by saying, oh, okay, I won't do it again, and that's just who he really is?
No, I think he really did understand when I actually called it out, because I think he saw that I was, like, pissed off by it. Because I wasn't just like, don't say that, guys. I was like, you guys, that's actually not cool. Like, please don't say this. And I explained why. And I was like, he's not even in the room to, like, defend himself, and like, is this a fucking client? Come on, like, that's so disrespectful. Even if it's like behind, like, it's internal with our team, it just shows how bad, like, or disrespectful you are as like a business person, you know? And we can be fun and have fun and have jokes, but like when it comes to racial things, I'm like, no, like that's not okay.
I feel like this is what needs to happen for people to actually learn and change, you know, to have these kind of moments where
you have to.
You get called out, you get embarrassed. Otherwise, you just keep doing it, right?
Exactly.
Kind of like that guy in the movie theater. I wish, I'd said something to him to make him realize that it was really inappropriate. And I won't do that again, you know? If there's another situation that comes up, definitely speaking out. And not just like, you know, I think not in a retaliatory way, but more in an educational way.
Right.
Like what you were saying. Just letting him know that it's really inappropriate, it's really rude, and it's really racist. And I hope this like gets the message across to people. And that's, I think that's one way we can kind of like minimize racism. It'll never end, right? Mm-hmm. But we can minimize it, educate people. Sometimes people don't understand it. Sometimes people don't even know they're being racist.
Exactly. Exactly.
To be quite honest. And if we can do this and continue, not just racist against Asians, but racism against everyone, it makes me so mad.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just really systemic. And one of the things that, you know, kind of given our conversation and what we're talking about right now is, I think we have to unlearn a lot of it too, where it's just like I kind of going back to the programming of things. It's like, I have so many what ifs in my head. I don't like to be the what if person. I don't like to live in the past. But like when I think about these incidences, like I wish I said this. I wish I said that. But I think the buck has to stop with us. And I think that we just have to. I don't know. It's really hard to pinpoint this, but it does come down to the parenting and the matter of fact is that. Our parents and the their parents, like, you know, generations ago, mm-hmm. they came here and they had to assimilate and, you know, they did what they had to do. And I'm very thankful for that because I have a very easy life. We all have an easy life right now compared to how things have been in the past. But I think that it's also now time for us to create a voice for ourselves and to speak, talk back if we need to. So, I mean, thanks for sharing that. And that was really, honestly, really inspiring for me to hear because I think I would be scared shitless if Esther talked to me like that. And a straight face like, no, Arnold, that's not okay. I'm like, sorry, Esther.
I won't do it again.
Oh, man.
You know, going to, just kind of touching on what you said about parenting, I think it's also not just being taught by our parents. Right. But for me, it's actually teaching my parents because I'm not going to lie. My parents
are definitely. That's a whole other podcast.
It is. I have family members, parents, you know, they have their beliefs because of certain past experiences. Right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, to say it politically correct. But I have to tell them, too, that, hey, it's not OK. And it's not right to think like that because it's not a whole. The whole entire race is not like that. You may have had those experiences, but you know,
exactly.
But that's their thinking. You know, it's because of these people. No, it's not because of these people.
One person that you
yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like helping them unlearn as well. Mm-hmm. And I've heard it from my uncles and aunts, and you know, again, my parents. And I'm trying to educate them too. You know, so it's not just about what we were taught, but also like. Teaching back.
Yeah,
I mean, all of our parents are kind of like old school and yeah, just
you know what though? Here's the thing too, right? It's like it's not their fault. Imagine how much fucking shit they had to go through. If we went through this, imagine like 50, 60, 70 years ago. I can only imagine what they had to go through. So I kind of understand why they have become like that over time too, and stereotype people and generalize races. So yes, it is up to us, but at the same time, like it's I kind of empathize with them as well. Like I'm not saying I condone their thoughts and their beliefs, but I kind of like if I try to put myself in their shoes, I'm like yeah, I probably would maybe say the same things or have as much frustration and anger and agitation about different races and stuff like that. But it's a different time that we live in, you know? Yes. And I think that if we all can make an effort to think differently and to actually act upon, I really, yeah. And I think it's as easy as just sticking up for somebody too. I think that goes a very, very long way. Oh my gosh, there's so many restaurant examples that I will not get into, but at this point in time.
I have a controversial with the parents and yes. their old school thinking and kind of their experiences that they've dealt with racism and everything surrounding that, right? Growing up in America and trying to make it in America. But then there's like Asians that are religious. And like, how does that make sense? So like, I have parents that are, like I said before, they're devout Christians, like study the Bible every day. They read it like it's their Bible, right? And then, you know, they're Republicans and they believe that someone who used to be president is like the savior. And like, they're taught these things in church. I don't know. Like, I don't know where these things are coming from, but like sometimes, and they've said some racist things where I'm like, you know, blaming the Black community for certain things because they've been through stuff and they had, you know, these really terrible experiences in the past growing up, just trying to make it in America. And like, I just don't understand that where I'm like, if you're religious and you're supposed to treat everyone like a human being, and like, why is racism a thing?
Well, don't you think at that point in time it becomes for them kind of, I'm just, this is me assuming, I'm not religious, I never was growing up, but don't you feel like for them it's like they have to kind of choose like one lesser of the evils kind of situation? Mm-hmm. Or no?
I don't know, because like the Bible tells you to treat everyone like you're like equal.
Yeah.
And so that to me is like so strange when my mom starts saying some things about this other community, or like, oh, these are bad people and this is why, and like because of the way the media portrays a community, right? Like minorities in general. And so like it's weird to me because I just don't, that's why I'm not as religious as I used to be, because I just don't understand how you can be so religious but then also racist.
Yeah, I thought about that.
You know?
I don't have any.
I wish I did too.
It's a really weird thing.
It's true though. You're right. I thought about that as well. Right. You're raised to kind of treat others
to
as,
be godly and be a good person.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
But then you're going off on another like community that's a minority.
Do they associate them as, you know, with the devil or something? Or I don't know. I don't know.
Because of their actions and I don't know their experiences.
Well, does it go down to whoever is leading this church and like his personal agenda maybe and his personal gain?
Maybe.
Right?
Maybe.
I mean, I'm not sure. I kind of wish I was religious enough to be able to insert myself in this conversation, but I just really grew up without any sort of religious belief because my dad went through what you went through. Thankfully, I've been a benefactor of that. And he's like, it's complete bullshit.
Yeah.
And again, if you're listening, you're religious, I respect, it's not like I don't respect religious people. Please don't cancel me. I'm kidding. I respect you. But here's what I don't respect is when people take advantage of the people that are religious.
Right.
From a capitalist point of view or from some sort of personal gain. And then that's what my dad hated about religion, was how fake it was. Mm-hmm. How fake it could be. It could be. And so for me, that was always what I grew up with as well. So that's why I've never been religious. And then I'll put in a personal story in here. When I went back to Korea for high school, I went to a Christian school and it was terrible. And I'll tell you why it was terrible. It was terrible because
in Korea?
Yeah. I went to an international school.
That's in Korea. Serious.
It was a Christian international school.
Okay.
And it's an international school, but literally it's just all Korean American kids. Hmm. There were a few Middle Eastern kids, okay, you know, with the sure. Arab money, oil
sure,
money.
Sure, sure, sure.
So they created another program called Oasis, which is like the most like terrible thing. Because think about what an oasis is. It's like there's a desert, and there's like random. You know, that's like this random water source in the middle of a desert. That's what the program's called. And then the other one was called Nix. I think it was like something international Christian, whatever. Literally every Korean is in the Nix program. And I was like the one Korean kid in the Oasis program because I was like, fuck religion, fuck Bible, fuck, you know. But point of the story is I feel like it was so funny because we graduated high school. I went to school here in New York and I never partied, never done drugs. Seriously, never done drugs. Very, very straight. But those goody goody Christian kids, oh man, they went south fast.
Yeah.
Which begs the question, are religious people nice people? I don't know. And I think that it's hard to like generalize it, because I think that it depends on the kind of church you went to, mm-hmm. kind of pastor. Because I'm sure they're great churches, you know, but at the same time, I'm sure there's bad apples out there too. So I guess that's my take on that. Definitely got some sort of personal agenda there, it seems like.
Good question. We'll save that for another podcast. Maybe we'll bring a person that's more religious.
Bring an expert.
They can talk about it.
Well,
on the lighter side of things, I just wanted to end it on maybe I really do want to talk about where you guys see this going to, this as in this podcast and With Warm Welcome, because I feel like it's been really cool for me personally to see this like grow into a thing of its own. Because it's been such, it's like having, actually I can't equate to having a baby. I've never had a baby, but if I did, I feel like this would be kind of similar feeling. You know, it's been really cool for me to see this like grow out of what it was and take it into these new directions and like have people like align with this vision that we have. So I just want to see what you guys were like, how you guys are feeling. I know. So Ben and I also met to this fantastic couple that maybe we'll introduce later that agree to help as well the other day. And as we referenced earlier in the podcast, we met another lovely addition today. So I just want to see what you know where you guys stand with everything and how it's been moving.
I'm excited. I mean, I was only part of the second meeting of two this past week. It was actually tonight. I'm super excited. I think there's a lot of opportunities and ideas that are so in alignment with what we're already thinking. And that sort of synergy is very rare to find. Mm-hmm. And thankfully we found it through Ben. But you know, I'm excited just for the projects that I think we're already thinking about. And we just met today for like 3 hours.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about growing this team for a while now, and we have a lot of great ideas, but we can't do it alone. And I think that we put out a call for help or a call for people to join us a few weeks ago, and people have, and that's the cool part. And we still want help. We still want people who are interested in lending their talents and trying to make a positive impact with what we're trying to achieve. And we really want to grow this team, and we're getting some really awesome people on board, and I'm super excited, honestly. And I had a great meeting today and yesterday, and I think that this can grow and this can become very, very special. So I'm super psyched, you know, for what's to come. And I think I want to keep on doing these off-air episodes where it's less formal.
Off-menu.
Oh, sorry, off-menu. I keep calling it off-air. Oh my God, it's off menu. I apologize.
Oh my gosh.
Off menu episodes.
Arnold's just in turmoil right now.
He's done with me. I'm actually leaving tomorrow. I'm getting fired. Okay, off menu episodes where it's more loose and, mm-hmm. you know, not so formal interviewee, right? We're just talking about topics that are on our mind. And, you know, and I also want you guys out there to, if you have any topics that you want to talk about or want us to talk about, please reach out to us at With Warm Welcome. Let us know what you want to talk about, and we're happy to do that. But yeah, this is just a way of kind of like us talking about what's kind of current and also what's on our minds and what we feel like is important to share, or just have, you know, kind of like have fun and talk about what's going on in our lives or what we think is what the best places are to eat, or what's overrated.
I think so. I mean, we brought on a guy, and he's very opinionated, actually.
Oh, really?
Really opinionated.
Awesome.
About very specific things. Like, he's very passionate about pizza slices.
Oh, wow.
More so than me.
Even more than Ben. So wow. I am really excited to have him. But kind of what Ben was saying, I think, obviously if you're listening and you know that we haven't been doing the weekly Wednesday episodes, and that's because I think that personally, I'm just not in the right state of mind right now to be doing the regular programming. I want to focus our efforts on addressing what's happening right now in front of us. And I came to New York a week ago. And before I came to New York, I think, you know, I've told you guys this, and you've probably heard this 1,000 times today, but I feel like I was in a bubble in LA. And I was seeing what was happening in New York. And to be honest, I couldn't really relate. I'll be completely honest. It's really hard to relate when you're not seeing it, or like you're actually there to feel the energy and the pulse of the city. But now that I'm here in New York, like, wow, it's really bad. I definitely feel it. And I'm definitely hyper aware, even more so than before. So I think that's what we're kind of thinking about right now, is how we want to address that and bring more awareness for our community and how we can help our community. So that's why you haven't heard from us on Wednesdays. So I hope you understand. But the off menu is definitely continuing. And I think we're going to be adding more voices. And I think it's going to be more like internal, like it's going to be from the people that are on this team. And as you guys have heard, there's going to be a few people joining. So I would love to showcase them and talk about hot topics such as pizza slices and they really get the best pizza, aside from a few other things. And then I think ultimately we might be greenlighting some other shows with From Welcome as well, so you can hear from more diverse faces within our community, because Asian American community is not just like one singular voice. It's not just me, that's for sure. It's not just the three of us, that's for sure. So we're hoping to bring on more talent and more interesting points of view that hopefully is more inclusive of the diverse nature of this wonderful, beautiful Asian American community. So I'm excited. I'm really, really excited. And I'm really happy to have you guys.
Same. And we still have Clubhouse.
Do you want to talk about Clubhouse real quick?
Sure. We're still going to be hosting our Clubhouse rooms every weekend. It just hasn't been a set day or time in a consistent manner yet, but we're thinking probably Sundays. But I think just for this weekend coming up, it's a little off schedule. So just look out for our promotion on Instagram to see when our next room is open. But essentially, it'll just be like a casual conversation with you guys, because we know that, you know, podcasting can only be one way. So we truly do want to connect with you guys on a more intimate level. So we think that Clubhouse can be that for us. So yeah, look out for our promo.
I think the Clubhouse has been great. I think it's a great way for us to continue these conversations, right? I think it's a great way to pick up these episodes too, if people are tuning in and happy to, if you have any questions about our respective experiences or like, you know, anything we've covered today, I think the Clubhouse rooms would be the perfect places to extend these conversations.
Agreed.
Yeah. Ben, any closing comments?
I think this was a pretty good episode. I didn't really know what I was going to say tonight. I didn't even know what the talking points were. But I had fun. And I think this is something we should do more often.
The day that Ben actually calls this off menu is the day we will have made it. And it's the day I'll be very happy. Even happier than I am now. But yeah, no, thanks for tuning in, and definitely stay tuned. Follow us on Instagram. I think that's where we're most active right now in terms of our messaging and communication. We have a few interesting initiatives coming up, so I think that's the best way to stay in the know is through Instagram. So that's at With Warm Welcome. If you DM us, it's Esther, and she's very engaging, so say hi to Esther. And if you have any questions, I think that's the best way to communicate with us is through Instagram.
For sure.
Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks.
Thank you.